Great teacher, Brother Barnabas. God bless you. Brother Tim, seems like we are all getting there. Isaac, yeah, good to be with you and good to be in this time of fellowship and to share and to draw one from another, as the scripture said, every joint supply. Amen. So let's open with a word of prayer and maybe a scripture reading tonight. Father God, we know there are many here who are responsible for many souls, many are elders, many are ministers, Lord, and we know that they represent the foundation or represent the pillars of the church. And we are here, Lord, to draw one from another. You are the great source, and Lord, each one of us has so some inlet, Lord, that you can use, that we can enjoy one another. We ask that you strengthen us now, Father, that we might be better men, that we will be more able servants, able ministers of the gospel, and in that the Lord, our efforts, Lord, will not be in vain, not be man-inspired or humanly inspired, Father, but it will be Holy Ghost-inspired. So we ask now, Lord, that you will bless our efforts, Father. Give us an unction. Make us live in oracles. Cause us to speak that which is, Lord, of the Spirit of truth. And let us stay in your right hand as you plant us, as you root us, as you establish us, as you prosper us, that we might bring forth much fruit, that many might live. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Proverbs 25 and 2. Maybe we can start a reading before we open for discussions. Appreciate the opportunity to be here, Brother Louis and the elders, Brother Norman. God bless you. And, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter or the matter. The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So, happy to be here. Happy to be in fellowship with you. Happy to share whatever parts, experience, or sometimes weaknesses can help. That you don't have to go through some of it. And sometimes our strengths can help. And where I might meet you at your weaknesses. So I'm open for questions and discussions. And is that the way it normally goes?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the sharing. I thought it was fellowship. But okay, it's fine. That's no problem. Yeah.
I think one of the questions that were raised back in 2018 and 2019.
I see. Okay. So you can repeat the questions.
Relating to the office of God, there's always some kind of confusion. When it comes to the offices of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit,
yes.
In relation to the Son of God, Jesus, now.
Yes.
How does it fit in that?
Yeah. Okay. I can deal with that. We can look at that. Anything else?
I think in that same line is that where the Bible says, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's what we're looking at, the clarity of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we... is that it? Anyone else? Brother Henry? Let me just make a note, okay? We'll place that first. First, we'll place Matthew 28:19. Let's take from the 18th verse. And we'll place it. And as we begin to place it, then we'll begin to realize what really that scripture, why it's placed the way it's placed, and so on. Okay, Brother Henry.
After the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He said he is seated up in the right hand of God.
Yeah.
And God incarnated him.
He was incarnated at the resurrection.
Yeah.
So the 40 days that he was on the earth, that was incarnate God.
So when he was sitting on the seat, he was incarnated.
When he was?
On the throne. When he was on the throne.
When he ascended up, there were 40 days, right? There are 40 days before the... From the time he resurrected, there was 40 days. Then he went up. Incarnate,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Placed him on the throne.
Right.
Incarnate.
Yeah.
And then on the day of Pentecost...
He came.
That's why it's called an outpouring. Many people think it's just the outpouring of the gift. But the giver was there himself.
Okay.
Right. So at that point, he's not incarnate.
Okay.
Right? So now he is with the church, like, for instance, Lord, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I'm not taking it yet. I'm just going to show you one thing. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These are not persons. We know that. We call them office of dispensation.
Amen.
Matthew 28:19, the word Father is fatherhood, sonship, Holy Spirit dispensation. That's the words the prophet is using. But when he met Moses, that was Jehovah God, Lord. When he brought forth his son, he took a human name, Jesus. When he left the body up there, he became the anointed one on the throne, and he became the anointing Christ on the church. That's why he came to anoint. You know, that's the same anointing that was upon the Son is the same anointing that came on William Branham. That's why Revelation 10:1, Burman said that mighty angel is Christ, page 74. Well, if it is Christ, we know the heavens must retain him. It's not the anointed one. So that's the Christ. We know the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. But he has been made Lord. The Son has been made Lord. He's on the throne. So the only Lord who can descend, the Lord himself, is this one. And today is the only only people that can answer the question of Proverbs 30:4. Do you know the name of the Father? Can you put it up? Do you know the name of the Father? Do you know the name of the Son? We're the only class of people can answer that today. You see? Who has ascended up into the heavens? So who had guarded the winds in his fist? Who had bound the waters in his... What established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? Right? So there, this Lord Jesus Christ of Matthew 28:19 is the God that was with Moses, the God that was in Christ, which was Jesus in Jesus. This Jesus is Jehovah of all. And this Christ is not the anointed one. The anointed one is on the throne. He is the anointing that was upon him. That has come back to finish the ministry that he started in his son. And so, this 28:19 is the heart. That's why it has so much controversy. And contrary to what people think, that Brother Branham, God sent Brother Branham to make it very clear. No. God sent Brother Branham to bring it to a place where it was unreachable for the true fivefold to reach it. But to make it clear, no, this is not for the non-elect. It is for the elect. Our idea is that we were brought up to believe that God wants everybody to see. It's the glory of God to hide a thing.
It is He. You know, when it says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the... Why speak to them in parables? Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not given. So we come into the message with the premise that it has been revealed. But He said it still contains a supernatural element. That's not for denomination. He knew that every revival produced a twin. And what will separate them is revelation. And if I could go a little further. So revelation is only for the elect. That's the bottom line of it. Right? So we believe that revelation makes a difference. The difference between revelation is in contrast to wrong revelation. Right? We don't normally say that. Right? We call it error, force, whatever. And it seems far away. But all it takes is the same information, but a different understanding. So your revelation of the elect is in their understanding. And that becomes the evidence. The key is that when you make elect seed, and you make the evidence understanding, you make a doctrine or teaching, you can literally come back and say, doctrine and teaching is fruit. And if every seed eventually comes into a tree that produces fruit, you will know them by their fruit. You cannot separate elect and teaching. You cannot separate elect and doctrine. And the problem that we have had, we have what is, why did Brother Bram preach on Delilah, Samson, once more, deceived church? Why did he do that? He did it because they had designed Delilah to fellowship, to be intimate, to win the trust, to go along, to find the secret, what it is, in the power of the church. What was the power in the church? And they found what the power of the church is. The power of the church is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As long as Delilah can get the minister, the pastors, the ministers, to bypass the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the church is really powerless. That's what he found. He found the secret was that Delilah, and he said it in different ways. Oh, they're just dishing out intellectual preachers, doctors, LED. You know, he's saying it in many different ways, but when it comes to, once more, when it comes to deceived church, if you look at it carefully, there is a Delilah dilemma. Delilah dilemma has always been to get the ministers educated in the message of the hour. Not converted, educated. And once that happens, the church becomes powerless. So, this baptism of the Holy Ghost is a funny thing, because the man, if you have a pastor, or if you are a pastor, this is why we are so hated. Because we question our people's experience. We question them. We question them in the choices they make. We question them in their understanding. We question them in their priorities. We question them. But nobody, no pastor wants to be questioned. Nobody. When you see what has happened is that in the first generation, church was designed that we need you. The people say, well, you know, they need us. Tithing, offering, support makes a big church. They need us. The fact about it is there's only really very few watering holes where pastors are born again. And these are gifts that God gives. They don't need you. You need them. That's why they are given to you. Because you need them. First generation, if I don't like what you're preaching, and you're my pastor, and you're, I find God got over by him. We don't question whether that man is born again. We just get some message, church. People are there, we go. I don't like it, I go here. It was a smorgasbord. You can choose. And I don't have to tell you that's exactly what happened in Durban. But these same people circulated. Where are their spiritual lives still? So this baptism, this Delilah dilemma, if you touch it, if I question your forefathers here, if I question Dan Naidu, or I question Nami, or I question Ronnie, where they got their birth? Oh, who are you to do this? As a servant of Christ, we each have to make sure that whoever gets on this pulpit is lined up. If they are not right, they will misalign you. But we have somehow found a religious spirit that we cannot question the experience of our pastors, our leaders. That's off limit. That's rude. It's my soul I'm placing under there. It's my family's soul I'm placing under there. Where did you get your birth from? Because Brother Branham told us, you cannot get it from a book. Because the Ethiopian eunuch was reading his Bible. He couldn't get the Holy Ghost there. He said, you have to get it through a member of the body. Somebody who already had life. You probably can look for that quote for me. Somebody who already have life. Oh, I have it here. I have it here, brother. I'll put it up. Somebody who already has life. The Bible said, no man has a right to witness the message. The Bible is the message, isn't it? Unless he has Acts 1 and 8. You tell me how many pastors tell their people, shut up and don't say anything until you get your fill quicker. As long as you come to a message church, you're okay. Your own children grow up in a message church and your pastor will never ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost? It's assumed they have it because they were born in a message church. We are no better than denomination. We have gone right back to another generation of denomination. But nobody wants to say anything about that. They have become first generation, have made their living. They don't want anybody to rock that boat. They want to relax and collect now for the rest of their days. But I say no. You must pay the piper. And what you sow, you will reap. You cannot get the Holy Ghost without a member of the body. You cannot do it. It's impossible. And if Brother Branham makes a statement, if you want to know if that man who has, if you say you got the Holy Ghost, let's say you got the Holy Ghost from Dan, let's say you get it from Nami or somebody, one of them, I don't care, you know, they can call my name, it's okay too. I'm not here for a contest. I'm here for one thing. I'm here to represent the Lord. And if you say I represent the devil, that's fine too. But whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it well, and very well. If you say that man's got life, Brother Bram said, take the doctrine. Take it back to him. If he cannot receive it, he's not got life. Amen. Put Isaiah 8 and 20 up. Amen. If he does not, if he can't see it, it's because he's got no life in him. Right? And then you should run for your life. It doesn't matter, he christened the baby, you know, he was there when, you know, he lent me money and he was the oldest there. And it has nothing to do with that, that's foolishness. To the law and the testimony, this is the truth of the whole thing, the law and the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. If you have a pastor And that man can't tell you the man he got the Holy Ghost from. If he tells you he got it from this guy, then just take the truth and carry it back, and you hear him say, I don't see that. Yeah, that's two gods. That's the devil. Oh, they're just twisting, Brother Brown. Jesus and Jesus, he just made a mistake with that. The father name is Jesus. Oh, the son cannot be his own father. He has a father and is God. Well, if his father is God, then who's Jesus? Oh, he's God too. Who's got two gods? And then they give you answers like, well, you know, it's so deep, you know. It's a revelation, brother. But why did he preach unveiling of God? Why did he preach? God had explained. If it's so deep that, but the Bible said in Jeremiah 24:7 that there will be a people who will know their God. Every age has a theme. Every age has a theme. Every age. Right? The theme in Luther Day was justification by faith. You might have everything else wrong, but if you had that right, you were okay. Wesley, sanctification. You can have a lot of things wrong, but you'll have justification and sanctification right. In our day, you cannot tell me that you don't know your God. That's the theme of the bright age. That's the theme of the air. Who do you say this is? Who's this Melchizedek? Let me go one more step further with this. If you have a pastor, if you are a minister, I don't care. And they can't tell you where their life come from. And then you go to that man and see what that man teaches. Or you present what he thinks about it. Then he did not get life. I don't care. I don't care if he had an experience that walked him across the room. I don't care if a pillar of fire appeared unto him. It matters not. Because Paul met a pillar of fire and he was not converted. Amen. He still had to have Ananias come and lay hands and pray for him before he can receive the Holy Spirit. If that happened to the great Saint Paul, who are you? Now I want to ask you, which one of these pastors in Durban had the Holy Ghost that gave you the Holy Ghost? Which one of them ever asked you which Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 2:38 you were baptized in? The one who has been made Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? The one who has been made Lord Jesus. There's one who has been made Lord and Christ. There's one who was always Jehovah. His family name is Jesus. His deity name has many names. Jehovah Rapha. They never ask you that. I guarantee you that. They never ask you that. That's why Brother Branham said, you've got to get your Godhead straightened out before you can get your water baptism straightened out. And it will take a humble man. Let's say Brother Branham was. Let's say Brother Henry. After you've been in it so long, the longer you've been in it, it's the greater humility you have to have. Because it has shame associated with it. But it's not you. It is your elders that you came from. Find a man. Find a man you got the Holy Ghost from. Take the doctrines to him and see what he'll tell you. The young generation preachers that are coming up, where did they get it from? Huh? Where did they get it from? And to fabricate, to get an attraction, some of them are going back. Right back. To the same old Pentecostal tricks. And they will die. Do I need to do this? Lord Jesus Christ and Lord Jesus Christ, the two? Was it really clear? Let me read. The one bad thing I did. Brother Barnabas, I forgot my glasses. You think we are blind on the same strength? Brother Isaac.
Thank you. Thank you, son. I got one, Brother Louis. Sharp looking one, too.
Ay, ay, ay. Should I take about 45 minutes, maybe half an hour, and do the highlights of this? How we come to that conclusion? Okay. If it's okay with you. Because some of you already know this, they are fundamentals to you. I don't want to waste your time. You know. Okay, you'll have to give me a... Let me start like... Wow. I hope this is it. Let's see. It's a little bit small. Let me see if I can do presentation there. Tools. Present. Oh, I don't think I can do presentation online, do I, Brother Norman? It wouldn't let me do it, huh? I don't see the option. No. We have no doubts that people are hurt. Truth normally does that. It's called a sword. When you build up a kingdom, you've taught people for so long that you know God. You know Him because you read the message book, you read the Bible. Baptists say they know God. Methodist ministers, preachers, every one of them say they know God. They hear from God. God talk with them. It's no different in the message. The scribes and Pharisees, they were preaching about God, teaching people about God, and they didn't even know Him. It's the same thing today, just that we lie to ourselves. We assume that the man up here knows, as in contact. Because we ourselves don't want to ask. Yes, it is true. It is true that if you do not know this God, you are an idol worshiper. We don't want to say, but all denominations, whether you are Trinity or Oneness, is idol worshippers. But each one of them say Lord Jesus. Each one of them call upon the name of the Lord. Big bumper sticker, Jesus Christ is Lord. What's the difference between them and us in the message? What's the difference? But you see, we have our heads in the sand because we don't know. One minister, you know, when last did you hear before Brother Louis and different ones started to, how many of your pastors or how many in Durban ever took Godhead for a series? The capstone revelation, the greatest revelation. Oh no, it's after it comes and makes all of them look bad. Then they become experts. That's how it normally works. That's normally what happens. I'm not saying this to you, it goes on the tape. Every country is the same. You see, now they don't even know the material, so now they have material. So they, why didn't you? You have conventions here all the time, don't you? Easter conventions all the time. The greatest revelation, he said, is the capture. He said, you can't even get on base one without it. And you mean no great men, Beckett and all these great Martins and all? You mean they never come and break that down for you, glorious people, because they want you to know your God? Why? Because they whistle through the graveyard. They don't know, they just don't want to know. The other guy to know, he doesn't know either. The greatest of all revelation. You mean for 40 years, they have never done that here in Durban? You mean you can take one service and do Godhead? The greatest of all revelation. Yes. They're angry at us. Yeah, so they were angry at Jesus too. Because you see, we are attacking the belly of the priests. They're tithing, they're offering their reputations. Yeah, that's true. But somebody's got to do it. And I don't plan living very long, you know. I'm on borrowed time. But somebody has to do it. Brother Henry, you could be very nice to them. Try it. Try your approach. You might be old in years, but I'm older when it comes to these things. Try it. See if it works. See if charm works. They'll buy you with a big offering to keep you quiet. Make you psychologically connected to them that he's not that bad. He's not a bad guy. While he keeps on killing his people. You see, we are willing to say that denomination is killing all those people. They're liars. In the message, they ain't no liars. In fact, you never even met a serpent seed in the message, have you? You've never even met a twin. Yet, in the Bible, every single twin knew each other. You'll never have a fivefold ministry. And you never have a unity of the faith. You can't even unite them here. Because they are not converted. And they do not know what an Ephesian pattern is. They don't know how to get a fivefold. They don't know how a fivefold is produced. You say, I don't even know what you're talking about, Brother Tony. I don't need to say more. Yeah, they're angry at us because we believe that outside of the true and living God, you're an idol worshiper, and your pulpit becomes an altar of Baal. Yeah, it's true. I'm not going to deny. I say that. If I'm wrong, I'm willing to sit down and hear differently. How you can have two different gods and one of them, both of them be right. If there is an Elijah today, do you believe there's an Elijah today? Well, if there's Elijah, there must be a Jezebel for today. There must be a Ahab for today. There must be a Baal worship for today. There must be Baal priests for today. And if we can find out what Elijah was against, he was against Baal worship and Baal priests, right? If we can find out what he was against, if we can find out what William Branham was against, we'll know what Baal worship is. I mean, that is as simple as ABC. Who's going to be upset with that? Unless you're a twin. Brother Branham, Elijah today was against a oneness and Trinity. Trinity and oneness is Baal worship. Baal is the worship of creation. The sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the grove. And Brother Branham said, the Son of God has a beginning. The firstborn of all creation. And if you take the Son and you make him the Father, God, you just took the creation and make him the Creator. Guess what you just did? You're right back to Baal worship. Let me give you a definition of Baal worship today. This is the definition. The Baal of the Old Testament is the other Jesus of the New Testament. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul said, they preach another Jesus to you. Is that right? Well, then, Baal of the Old is the another Jesus of the New. Just like Jehovah of the Old is Jesus of the New, and that's not the Son. That's what it is. You see, Brother Brown told us, and your ministers, a lot of you, some of you have been in message for years, defines God in two different ways. He gives you the Greek definition of God, what God is, how God is defined by the Greek, and how God is defined by the Hebrew. He said the Greeks defined God as an object of worship. Brother Brown didn't like that. He said you could make a chair an object of worship. He said you could make that piano an object of worship. He said you can make your car an object of worship. You can make your wife an object of worship.
Yes.
Didn't like that. I don't have to read the quotes. They're there. You can read them if you want. He said the second definition is the Hebrew definition. He liked that. You see? The Hebrew definition of God as the self-existent one.
Amen.
So we worship the one that was self-existent. We know the Son had a beginning. Amen. All sons have beginning. And if you are a son, you cannot be your own father. And you, if you say, no, he is the father and he is the son and he's everything, well, then you show me in nature where any son is his own father. If you can show me that, because Brahma said, my first Bible was nature. You show me where a son was his own father, and I'll tell you what, you're right. So who is the self-existent one, friend? Who is the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who doesn't change? We know it's not Jesus Christ, the Son. It's Jesus Christ, Jehovah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why in Hebrews 13:8, Paul said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because that light when spoke by, he said, who are you, Lord, Jehovah? He said, who are you, Jehovah? He said, I am Jesus. Then Paul knew that Jehovah had called himself Jesus. Therefore, he wrote in Hebrews 1:4 that Jesus inherited a name. He is given a name above every name. And that's why Paul said, the whole family in heaven and earth is named after Jesus, not the Son. He said, I bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole family in heaven and earth. We are not named after the Son. He is the firstborn of many brethren. He said, I ascend unto my Father, your Father. My God, your God. John 20:17. Is that right? So the stigma is that Jehovah Elohim is that one God, and Jehovah Elohim is not the Son. Jehovah Elohim is Melchizedek. Because Melchizedek had no mother father. He said Jesus had mother father. He said, and this Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. Maybe over and over in the Hebrew series he said it. But why couldn't they see it? Because when your mind is already stigmatized to oneness, I did something bad, brother. Okay, so there's the definition. You have to find your definition. The definition is that we worship the self-existent one, the one who had no beginning. And the problem, let me put it in a nutshell for you so you'll understand this. It's God, no man at any time had seen God. The prophet of God interprets that. Your scriptures interpret it. 1 John 4:12, 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16, John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten has declared him. Would you see my password? All right. Now we have privileges as my wife. No? Okay. If no man had seen God at any time, if Jesus was God like this, how many people saw him? And if you could see him like this, that's God. Right? You broke the scriptures already. But the second thing is, why did the prophet say the only way to know him is by his characteristics? The only way to know God is by his characteristics. Why can't I know him like this? And why is, if he's gone like this, why do I need a revelation? That's no revelation. I mean, he's gone. We have been lied to for so long. And we have been in idolatry for so long. That even when you're in denomination, you believe you were safe and you were worshiping the true God. Because you intend to tell yourself, God knows I was sincere. But I hope when those people are perishing in hell, those words will be saying, you know, they were sincere. We lie to ourselves because our leaders allow us to give room for idolatry. That's true. So, let's just break a couple of those down. God is only known by his characteristics. Why? Why can't you, look, if Brother Barnabas is God, he's God. What was the mystery of that? He's God. But when you hear the prophet say, Jesus is God, yet he's not God. He's talking about the mystery of God in the form of a man. But God is God all the time. But when it comes to reveal himself in the form of a man, the man is God, just like Moses was God, yet Moses was not God. But because their concept is wrong from the minute they say Jesus is God, bam, you see? Because that's all they want to prove. Their precepts, their concept was already wrong, so they're already only looking for proof to support a wrong concept. Which concept means is logos. Sorry, brother. I'm not surprised if it doesn't work. I mean, this is... the enemy is going to help us, the prince of power up there. Okay, while he's doing that, let me finish up some of the concepts quickly. No man at any time has seen God. If you take this scripture here, Matthew 28:18, I'm just going to give you a couple. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about the God who was with Moses, the God who was with his son, and the God who's with the church. It's one God operating past all the time. He changes many veils. He uses many veils. Now, if you say, who is this, Brother Tony? I will tell you, this is Hebrews 1 and 1. Can we read it? It's Hebrews 1 and 1. You can't pervert scriptures. Right? Listen. God, who in sundry times and divers manners, in time past, spake unto the fathers in fatherhood through the prophets. It is God that was with Abraham. That's Elohim that came to Abraham. It wasn't Jesus the son that came to Abraham. In fact, we know, Brother Bram said, in proving his word, he said that was not Jesus talking to Abraham in Genesis 18. He had not yet been born. Had in these last days spoke, Brother Bram said, not by his son, in his son. So, the same God spoke to the prophets in fatherhood is the same God that spoke in his son in sonship. Right? Who do you think came back as the pillar of fire? That's the one God. It could not be him. It could not be the son coming back. Because put up Acts 3 and 20. This Jesus, whom the heavens must receive. Hear the word receive. Must take hold, to take hold, to take with the hand, to use of a place, receiving one, to sustain, to receive him. They can't let him go. Let's go back. They must receive him until the times of restoration of all things. This Jesus does not touch the earth again. Until Mount of Olives, Acts, Revelation 19, you see him, the incarnate God coming back. But that fulfillment is telling you where he's coming from. Zechariah 14 and 4 tells you who, where he's coming to. Let's look at that. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. This same Jesus went up in Mount of Olives in Acts 1 and 8. Isn't that right? The heavens must receive him until the restoration of all things. When we come back, what was the rest of, what did we lose? We lose title deed, communion with God, and eternal life. The heavens must retain him. Even through the supper, it's retaining him. The heavens only allow him to meet us in the air. That's it. Never touch the ground. Right? Okay, so Hebrews 1 and 1. This is Hebrews 1. This is Matthew 28:19. So how is the heavens going to retain him? What's his position in heaven? Let's go to the book of... now, remember this. He could only be one place at one time. So if that be true, there is a Jesus who has been made Lord, and he was anointed three times, anointed for the sacrifice. He is anointed to preach, even to preach beyond the grave. Then he is anointed to be high priest. So he's still Christ, because he anointed high priest. Right? So this Lord Jesus Christ, who has been made Lord in Christ, is on the right hand, ever living to make intercessions. He went up. He's in a glorified body. Now, there is a Jesus that was in him, who was before the human family name was revealed. This father, his father, Jesus, was called Jehovah of the All. He was this. Now he has a family name, and he is the anointing Christ. That came and anointed the son of the Jordan. his form is a pillar of fire. So he died, buried, resurrected, rose in a glorified body, and went on the throne. He's still in a glorified body. He who was veiled in his son, death, burial, and resurrection, ascended in his son, and came back as a pillar of fire on the day of Pentecost. There is a Jesus that died, buried, resurrected, and went in a glorified body and never came back. The heavens must retain him. And there is a Jesus that was in him, that died, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, left that body, took up the pillar of fire, and came back down on the day of Pentecost. Can you go up? Let me see. Can you go up again? Okay, yeah. Yeah, this is him here. You can make anything a god. That's the Greek. But in the Old Testament, Genesis 1, that's Hebrew. In the beginning, the word used, Elohim, means self-existent one. What the different the word is in our word. To our word God come from Greek. Hebrew, the Elohim means self-existent one. See, we cannot be self-existent. We cannot be almighty. Now, Jesus himself says, I can do nothing. You either make him a liar, or you make him tell the truth. See, their God is a liar. He lies. And then they say, oh, he's playing a role. Well, I guess I can lie and say, oh, I'm just playing a role. I could go commit adultery and then tell my wife, it was a role I was playing. That's the kind of foolishness they teach. We cannot be almighty, omnipresent, omniscient. Jesus, the Son, doesn't even know when he's coming back. He does not even know when he's coming back. That Elohim expresses all of that. We cannot be that. The tree that you make, a god out of, or a building, it's not self-existent. You see? So omniscient one is King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Omnipotent, the creator. If he's omnipotent, he's the creator. He created all things. He can defeat Satan. He's the omnipotent one. Therefore, he can heal all sicknesses because it's come from Satan. He's a healer because he's omnipotent. He can overcome diseases. Germ warfare. Biological warfare. Whatever it is. He's a healer. That's why Jesus never healed anybody in his life. Because there's only one healer. That's why the scripture said in Psalms 103, I am Jehovah that healeth all thy diseases. And imagine the son is the healer and he says, I can heal no one. It's not I that do the work. It's my father. And they said, no, you lie. It's a mystery. You are the healer. And you know, we come from that Pentecostal, you know, realm. And they bring that Pentecostal thing into a message. Oh, Jesus, heal me. We bring that into the message. When the woman touched Jesus, he didn't even know. He just knew virtue. And Brother Bob said, what? He said he never touched Jesus. She said her faith touched God. He didn't even know. There's only one healer, friends. And that's Jehovah. He is the one that healed all our diseases. He's the protector, defender. He is the El in all of the L endings in the Hebrew. The strong one, the almighty. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemed thy soul from destruction? Who do you think raised you from? Who's going to raise you from the dead? Who do you think is going to raise you from the dead? The Son of God. He couldn't even raise himself from the dead. He said he's a resurrection and life. You must listen to your prophet. He said that was God speaking in him. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him on his right hand. They lied to us. They never told us what the prophet said. That the problem was they did not know when Jesus spoke or when the Father spoke. And we kept giving credit to the Son for everything. Even though we read the things, we were so foolish. Here he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And here it says, God raised Christ from the dead. Wait a minute. If he's a resurrection and life, he should raise himself. Who's giving him the vision? He didn't give himself the vision, did he? He did not give himself the vision. I've got some quotes. Did I give you the quotes on three as a witness? Yeah, you know what? It's on that pen drive. From Namibia. It's on, Brother Lou, it's on your computer. No, it's on that pen drive. Yeah, you see how the enemy is working here. We can't get the notes up there. I'd love to read them for you. Yeah, that will do. Yeah. This is scripture. This is scriptures. It is also written in your law that the witness, that the testimony of two men is true. Listen carefully. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me is the with me. Now, if it was one like your finger, Jesus would have been the biggest liar there is, and our God would be a hypocrite. Right? It's not one like your finger. The Father and the Son is not one like your finger. Right? Go on up. All of these are Old Testament. You can't even stone a man without two or three witnesses. You can't even bring a charge without two or three witnesses. Right? Go on up. We're going to skip all of these. You don't need scriptures for them. Right there, let's read. This is Brother Branham's own teaching. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. Your word is wrong. You testify of yourself. He said, two is a witness. I am one witness, and my Father that is with me is the other witness. He does the work. So he wasn't alone. Again. And in the fifth chapter, he's interpreting scripture. Of course, you know our preachers are a better interpreter of the prophet. And in the fifth chapter, 36th verse, God speaking of his Son. First, vindicating his claims. Next, John speaking of him. Now the Son speaks for himself in the 36th verse of the fifth chapter. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which your Father had given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father had sent me. That's three witnesses. John speaking, God speaking for him, and he speaking for himself. Three witnesses that he was sent of God to fulfill the works of God. Who's a liar, friends? We just got a note from somebody who says, we twist the scriptures, we twist the quotes. They just don't want to show their people these things. I guarantee if you were in a message church, they never read these things for you. They will never do it. Can you go up? Three is a witness. I read two already. The anointing is a person. The word Christ means the anointed one. It has to be a person. See, to be anointed one, you have two things. You have to have a man and you have to have the Spirit. Moses was Christ in his day. He was the anointed one. Well, you can make him Lord and Christ. That does not make him God. Moses was Christ. And he was God to the people, but he was not God himself. When the scripture says Christ, when the prophet preached a message, Christ identified for all ages, It was the one that was in them, the Jesus, Jehovah, that was in Daniel, in David, in Jeremiah. Then that Jesus came in Jesus. But when you are of oneness and you say Jesus in David, you only know the man. And you put in that man as the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost was in that man. The Jesus that was in Daniel is not the Son of God. The one who made Daniel act that way is the one who made the Son of God act the way he did. It's the same man in different veils. Okay, close it up and let me look at your notes again, Brother Louis. There should be one, the Father and Son have the same name. Which Jesus is God? Two people speaking. You all know this, right? The let us make man is two of them, right? You know those quotes? Should I read them? One brother say yes. Okay, let's do the let us make man. There's only one God. We know that. There's only one God and we worship that God. That's all. Here, Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man. So there is a man and there's one God. Right? Let us make man. Here, Brother Bram, interpretation. He's doing, writing his first Bible. Notice, human beings once looked towards the heavens today. He's got his Bible wrote here, but he wrote it in the heavens. Man can look up and realize that great Jehovah lived above. That's the one God, not the man. And then I could see him. I can see him speak to this world hanging there in an icicle, somewhat it was, away. And he moved it over here. I can see this light go out. Now you've got two now. You've got how much? No, Brother Ram don't believe in two gods. He told you in the quote before I read that you believe in one God. But now you've got two. That doesn't make two gods. The Father, and out of the Father came the light, the Son. How can that be two gods? You say that was not in the Old Testament. Okay, Brother Branham is telling you the Father and Son existed. The very first pair that existed. Before that, it was only God. Then, who had ascended up to the heavens or said, who had gathered the wind in his face? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? Going up? Questions and answers. He got all those things together made. Made all the other things, all the animal life, the birds, the bees, the monkeys, whatever it was. Put them on earth here. And as he asked this question, let us, who? The prophecy, Father and Son, make man in our image. Genesis 1:26, Brother Bram is interpreting again. Well, if you notice real close in Genesis 1:26, let us, the first part, get the first part first. God said, let us make man in our own. Of course, we realize he's talking to someone. He was speaking to another being. He wasn't speaking to himself like some foolish people say. He was speaking to his body. If I speak to my body, you know what, you're going to put me away. Again, there's only one God. And I differ and disagree with the organization of Pentecost that calls oneness like your finger is one. That's wrong. Absolutely, it's wrong. Jesus couldn't have been his own father. Jesus couldn't be his own father. So if you have the Father and Son, this one could not be this one. But this one can reveal clearly this one. Because this one is always unseen. Couldn't have been his own father. We have only one true father, and we must know him, right? The Bible said, and call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Now, if I call the Son of God my father, you know what I just did? Because he said, his father is my father. I ascend unto my father, your father. And then I am praying to him and calling him father. You know something not right there, brother. You know, look how foolish it is. You're praying to Jesus and then you're asking in the same one's name. You pray to God and you ask him in the name of the atonement, which he sent his son. Isn't that how Paul prayed? To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Go on up. John 20, my Father and your Father. Jesus come to manifest the Father. Questions and answers. Right? Jesus said, touch me not, I'm not ascending unto my Father, but go tell the brethren, I say unto, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Now, if you make Jesus the Father, how many fathers do you have? For one God and Father over all, even the Son of God, because it said the head of Christ is God. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, and of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are we are all things. Now, I realize that we can go on and on. Is there anything specific that, apart from this 28:19 I'm going to prove now that you would like to question? Okay, let us do some appellations. That's the best thing to do. All right? Look up in those notes, you should have a file, mark the Father is the Word. Because everybody thinks the Son is the Word. He's the living Word. He's the prophet that the Word come to. You know, people forget to think that he is like Moses. The Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Except that prophet happened to be the Son of God. He's made unique. Moses had flaws. Jeremiah had flaws. Abraham had flaws. But this son was made in a way that had no flaws. Let me see the title. Which Jesus is God? Which Jesus is the Word? Well, would you like to read this? Let's see which Jesus is God. Okay. Being made so much better than the angels, this of course is a wrong. It's supposed to be a lowercase a here. Who's got a he? If you've got a King James, you'll have a lowercase a. That's not heavenly angels. He's made so much better than the prophets of old. That's why the prophet said, you don't use it, you use it, but let's see. Yeah, you see lowercase. A, better than the prophets of old. Isaiah, Psalms 45. Let's look at Psalms 45. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is a pen of an already writer. For thou art fairer than the children of men. Well, why is he fairer than children? Grace is poured out of his lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Well, why is he fairer than the children of men? Because he was not born by sex. Isaiah 7:14. He's Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. It's because of how he's made. It's Matthew 1:18. The Holy Spirit conceived him. And God was his father. He is made better than the angels because he has no flaws. He has God's blood. He has God's DNA. He has God's blood. He has God's DNA. He has no flaw. David had flaws. That's why God couldn't reveal himself clearly in David. But if he could have done it in any man, he would not need to reproduce his own character DNA, because Jesus' DNA is programmed by God to be what God would have been if he was a man. Right? So, this is why he is made fairer. This is why he is made better than the angels, and he's given a name. Let's look at that. Let's go back to Hebrews 1 and 4 again. Or the notes. Being made so much better than the angels, how was he made better than them? He was made better than them because he was not born by his... This is the only man that did not have a human father apart from Adam. He does not have a human father. He does not belong to the Jew, the Gentile, or the Samaritan. When you hear Brother Bram say Jesus was not Jew, he was not Gentile, he was not Samaritan, he was God. He's comparing race. He's not from these race, he's from the God race. The difference between Jesus being made better than Adam is that Adam did not have his father's blood or DNA. That's why Adam did not carry his father's name. He carries Adam red dirt because his blood was not the blood of his father. But this son carries the blood of his father. Therefore, he carries his father's name. Jesus really means Joshua, which is Jehovah's Savior. Right? That's what it means. Okay. The notes. Let's look at the notes. Which Jesus is... Yeah. I'm just going to close off at Matthew 28 because that was the question. We had a lot of problems with the... Why am I not surprised that we had all this problem with it? All right. Okay. Now, so we know, we establish he comes in his father's name. So we would see Jesus, the prophet of God, said, Paul on the road to Damascus one day saw, rather, all of a sudden a light shone around behind him. Remember, when you're reading this, remember there's somebody in a glorified body on the throne and you can't be in two bodies at the same time. And a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. I came from God. I go back to God. That was the spirit in Jesus speaking out. God. That was in Christ. That was not the Son of God. The Son of God cannot say, when he said, great, Brother Bram said, literally, Paul said, Jehovah. Because he knew there was that pillar of fire could be none else than the one that met Moses. You think the Son of God could say, yeah, I'm him? That's when he realized that Jehovah had called himself Jesus. And that is why he could say, Jesus Christ the Savior, yesterday, today, and forever, not talking about the Son, talking about Jehovah God. So we will see Jesus. When he was here on earth, how many knows that was the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel? That it was Christ. Remember, Christ is... Not the man. What makes the man, the anointed one, is the Christ. The angel of the covenant. All right. How many knows that was Jesus in Jesus? That same spirit. So now, when you ask the question, which Jesus is God? They'll say, you're a lunatic. What do you mean, which Jesus? There's only one Jesus. That's when you say, that's right, you're an old Baal worshipper. That's right, you're all oneness. You said, these are nice men, good men. These nice men, these good men have no right in the pulpit if they're not converted. Because they're killing people and they're sending them to hell as quick in this message as anything else. You say they don't know better. They have no right being here then. Because if God sent them, he has to open their eyes to see it. I didn't send them. And if he doesn't open their eyes, it's because he did not call them. You say, but they got a gift. So does Benny Hinn. Would you put him in your pulpit? No, brother. He's a good man, a nice man, a kind. You talk about a gentleman. He don't know all these deep things. You go to a dentist. He's a kind man, a good man, a nice man. He doesn't know much about dentistry, and open your mouth. Which Jesus is God? They say God was in Christ. Amen? If this was Jesus, if this Jesus is God that was in the Son, then this God is the Word that was made flesh. And the flesh is not something dead. This Jesus has a body. He has a spirit. And he has a soul, because that's what you need to be a person. And he is not a person. He is a spirit, which is a being. And a being does not, is a being is not a person. But this being designed this Son in such a way to reflect his personality. So you cannot separate God and Christ as persons, because that's the only personality God has. A dog is not a person. A cat is not a person, because it doesn't have three things. To be a person, you need a body, a soul, and a spirit. So he becomes the express person. Put that up. Hebrews 1 and 3. I'm telling you, friends, they have no right in the pulpit. They don't know. Look, if you're a mason and you don't know your job, nobody's going to hire you. But somehow these quack call themselves pastors are on up here, and everybody seems to don't care that they don't know the job. Maybe you just like bad work. You think you'll hire a mason who doesn't know his job? Doesn't know how to use his tools? Doesn't know how to put up a straight wall? What happened all these years? You just conveniently say, well, they're close to home. Well, I know him. He's a good man. Well, we got to go to church somewhere with the family, you know. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Because he doesn't have person. He to be a person, you have to belong to the human race. And he existed before there was human. When he existed, he was just a supernatural being. There is no species made here. The original species is Zoe. So he can't be a person, because there is no species of people there. Which Jesus is God, friend? This is spirit. This is light. This is the Word. This is the Spirit. This is the light. This is God. This is the Son. This is the flesh. You could call it the tent. You can call it the tabernacle. You can call it the house. You can call it what you want. It's a man. Which Jesus is God? And you ask me, well, this is God. But how do you know it was God? The only way you can tell me is because of what it did here. The express person, the express image of his person. Let's go back to the notes. What is his Old Testament name? He had none.
No.
What's his Old Testament name?
Jehovah Complex.
Many, many, many Jehovahs. What is his Old Testament name, Melchizedek? What was him before he was expressed?
Elohim.
Who is the I Am? Well, who will be the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who is Malachi 1 and what? 6. I am God and 3 and 6. I am God and I what? Change not. Well, it will be him. Who is the anointing? Or the anointor, Christ. He is Christ, the anointed. He is the word, he is the prophet. The word come to the prophet. Again. So you have Jesus and Jesus. Jesus and Jesus is Father and Son. Jehovah we all now call himself Jesus in Jesus the Son. Unveiling of God. The Greeks wanted to see him. Now, let's see who they wanted to see. In John 12:20, many of you heard me preach on that saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. They got stirred up about this man who could heal the sick. Really? Could foretell things. Really? That happened to the dot. They got stirred up. So they come to see him. Now watch close. Don't miss this. Of course, the blind will miss it. See? And they come and they said to Philip, which was a Bethesda, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip and another disciples brought him to Jesus. Don't miss it. To see Jesus. He said, oh, that's nothing. Watch what he said. Now notice the very words Jesus reported back to them. For they come to see who he was, and they could not see him. They seen the form, but he was in his temple. God was in his temple, veiled in human flesh. They seen Jesus. Who did they see? This one. But they came to see this one. And the prophet is preaching, Sir, we would see who do it. Now watch carefully. That was Jesus and Jesus, right? Remember, he has to preach it in such a way only elect will pick it up. You think Brother Bram wants everybody to see it? God wants everybody to see it? If he wants everybody to see, who's going to be the liars? The false preachers? If you don't let everybody see it, the Bible will be a lie. If there's no twins in the message, it'll be a lie. If there is no, hypocrites in the message, the Bible will be a lie. We need them so the Bible will be true. Say, Brother Tony, you're too strong on them. They have murdered many people in Durban for a long time. Killed a lot. Some of your own friends. You say, this guy was in a message for so long. He was in this church for so long. He was a message to believe. He is not going nowhere. If his pastor never had life, he's not risen from the dead. Let me give you a scripture that will help sober you up. Let's go to the book of Jude 1 and 4. Oh, let me say this. You've never seen me. You've never seen me in all your life. And you never will see me. That's right. You see the body that declares this person that's here. And that's exactly right. You couldn't see God. He's invisible. You see him in the body he choose to manifest in. Let's go to the book of Jude. I want to show you something about this message people who believe they are safe because they're message believers and they go to message churches. Yeah, they're so happy. Let's come down here. Beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write and exhort you that you should contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saint. Why? What happened? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Well, how did they crept in unawares? Because they came on acting like ministers who turned before who were for all ordained to this condemnation, which means that they were predestinated seeds. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying, watch carefully, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What class is that? They deny Father and Son. They say the Father and Son is one. No, Jesus is God. Which Jesus? So they deny that. That's the next verse. So now I finish this, we'll finish Matthew 28:18 and we'll head out. Good to see you, Brother Barnabas. I thought I lost my old friend there. I've lost many of them here, but they'll be grateful one day at the end. For they are certain men, okay? The fifth verse. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though he once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, just like the Lord having saved us out of the denomination. How? By a pillar of fire, by a prophet, by three poles. That's what Moses did, right? Oh, he saved us out of denomination. We think we are saved. No, we are not saved until you receive the Holy Ghost. You are saved from denomination, but you are not sealed. And that's what the people think. They come out of the message, we are saved. What he says, therefore I'll put you in remembrance. Though he once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, under a pillar of fire, under a prophet, under three poles, under a word that thundered, afterwards destroyed them that believe not. As long as they preach to the people denominations of the devil, that's the harlot, the man of sin, the pope. Look what's happening here. This is what happened. They're getting the people to watch the enemy out there, and he's killing them right in there. Afterward, destroy them that believe not. He destroyed them. You know, they're burying them in the message. I know he came in. He came out of denomination. He loved the Lord. He loved the prophet. He loved the message. That's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he believed every word of it. The devil believed it too. They are not rising. If that man behind the pulpit have no life, they are not rising. Now, who is a liar but deny that Jesus is the Christ? It's Antichrist that deny the Father and the Son. Well, they don't believe that. They believe the Father and Son is one like your finger. That's Antichrist. Not only are they are a liar and whosoever denied the Son, the same had not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son had the Father also. Let me give you a trick. Second John 1:9, I believe it is. I think it's 2 John 1:9. Watch carefully. They say, well, Brother Tony, you know, we don't preach those deep things. You know, we just preach love. You know, well, agape love is to do the will of your Father. And if God called you to the pulpit, you better get those people to God. Right? Now, so this is what they do. Whosoever transgressed and abided not in the doctrine of Christ. Well, the doctrine of Christ was Luther, there was justification. The doctrine of Christ and Wesley, there was sanctification. The doctrine of Christ on Pentecost was a restoration of gift. The doctrine of Christ today is the unveiling of God. The Son of Man being revealed. Now watch. Hit the word transgress it. It's not what you think in the Greek. To go by the side of it. Oh, they'll talk about church agent, but that's not the bride's message. They'll talk about the harlot, the man of sin, the 666. That's not the bride's message. They'll go all around Godhead. They'll go all around seven seals, seven thunders, the third pole. They won't even touch it. But for a preacher to go around it, to go past it, over, to pass over without touching it, is transgression. If you are not touching the doctrine of Christ today and you're in a pulpit, you're a transgressor. And you can tell all the people, we're not getting into all these deep things. There's so many people lost out there and dying out there. We need to go out there and show them Christ. That's only a put off. So you wouldn't see a shortcoming. It's called tricks of the trade, friends. Wake up. There's tricks of the trade in preaching and pastoring. You don't understand that? When you're not getting through the people, you stop and then you start singing. You sing them happy, so they leave still happy. If the sermon don't get them happy, you sing them happy. If the sermon and the singing don't get them happy, you give them a good rebuking. They might as well leave, they upset and emotional than you know, bored. They, to step over it, to neglect it, to go past or turn aside from it, to depart, to leave, to be turned from. That's transgress. Go back. They will never show you these Godhead quotes. They wouldn't do it. And if they had, if they transgress, if they do not abide, do not touch, transgress it, go wrong it, and they do not abide, which means continue, not in the doctrine of Christ. They had not God. In other words, they're not born again. Because if you're born again, this gene is tied to the word of the hour. It wants the relevant message. It wants the fresh manner. It cannot live without it. He abideth in the doctrine of Christ, had both Father and Son. And if there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's why you lay hands on no preacher suddenly. Because every time he goes out and kill people, you sanction that. Every time you go sit on their pulpit, every time you support their meeting, every time you give them an offering and a tithing, a oneness preacher, you're telling them, hey, it's okay, go ahead and kill some more people. That's what you're doing. So what has your money been supporting lately? At the end of your days, what will you say you did? He was a friend of mine, you know, he can't let me preach every once in a while, you know. Let us finish off the notes and okay. I say half an hour. That'll be okay. Be time for you to still buy me coffee if you like me. Watch carefully again. This is Brother Branham's words. He's quoting 5:19. Father worketh and I worketh here unto. In other words, Jesus did not do anything while he was here on earth in any way of performing signs, wonders, until he saw the Father show him a vision on what to do. We know that, right? Chase down all the way to the prophets and find out it wasn't so. We have had the wrong slant. Even the flesh of Jesus Christ couldn't glory in the presence of God because he said, it's not me that do the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. What do we have under there again, Brother Louis? Blasphemous names. Now look, what was their fuss with Jesus? Their fuss with Jesus because he was a man making himself God. He was God. Listen carefully. He was God. God was in Christ. All the time, anytime Brother Bam say he was God, you just read the next line or two. You'll always qualify it. Always. See? And he told them, he said, don't look at me. It's not me. It's my Father that dwells in me. Now they saw what they was looking at was that little body that was born of Mary. See? That wasn't God. That was the Son of God. But God was in that body. It was God. It was God. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then condemn me. Continue to go up. The reason people couldn't understand him, sometimes it was the Christ speaking or the Son speaking. Other times it was the Father speaking. He was a dual person. He was one man, the Son. God was in. Chosen place. Now we find out Jesus said, I came in my Father's name and he received me not. Then the name of the Father must be. So what is the Son's name then? Going up. Now you think I could say my Father is my brother? We've got a big brother, Jesus, the Son of God. Not Jesus, my Father. Not Jesus, Jehovah. Jesus, the Son of God. He is the firstborn of how many? Many brethren. Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Expectation. God, we find in the scripture that God, after dwelling in Christ, who is God? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, after dwelling in Christ, had returned back by the name of Jesus in the same light he was in the beginning. When? On the day of Pentecost. Investments. When Paul or Saul then recognized that God, Jehovah, the pillar fire of the Old Testament, had called himself Jesus. Now this is a trick here. He called himself Jesus, but the angel told Mary to call the son, his name shall be Jesus. Nobody can name God. He called himself Jesus. But the Father can name his son. I hope you catch that. Had called himself Jesus. He took out a policy. He was ready. God only had one name, and his name is Jesus, and that was his son. He took the name of his son, God. Now, Jesus, the body, was a man, and that was the son also. Going up. Up, up, up. More time. Up, up, up. I'm just trying to pick up Hebrew. I'll read two more, and we'll close. This Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. And what made Jesus and God? Jesus was the tabernacle God dwelt in. And Jesus had father and mother. This man neither had father and mother. He had beginning, had no beginning. All right, close it up, and I'm going to do this water baptism here. Which Jesus is God? Which Jesus is the Word, by the way? He is the Word, he is the living Word. He's a Word made manifest. Because the Word is invisible until it became visible in flesh. That sounds good? All right. I'd like to put up some scriptures quickly to get Matthew 28 out of the way. Let's read Matthew 28, 18 to 20, 18 and 19 before we go there. I'd like to make the setting for it. If we make the setting for it, then I think everybody will appreciate it a little bit better. Then Jesus came unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Hit the word power. Exousia. Exousia. Now, let's look at exousia carefully. Okay? Liberty of doing as one please. Leave or permission. Physical, mental ability or strength. He says, given to him. Power of authority and of right. The power of rule of government. The power of him whose will and command must be submitted by others. All right? A subject of authority to rule. All right. So let's break it down. Let's break down the word. Let's go back to the top. So look at 1832. Okay. It comes from isti, right? It means to be lawful. Now, if you keep breaking this down, you will notice this is the same word that goes back to in the beginning was the Word. Your preachers, you can do that. Now, this word was does not say past tense. Well, if he was the Word, I guess he's not the Word anymore. No, it's not saying that. It means there was a time when he existed in the form of the Word. And there's a time, he, in the beginning, was the Word. He existed in this form. And then you'll notice John takes him from the Word to make flesh. The Word was made flesh. At one time, God existed in the form of the Word, Logos. And then he exists, the Word became flesh. It's not telling you of past tense. It's telling you that he takes different forms. He was in the form of the Word, then that Word became flesh. He was in the form of flesh. Then he said, I come from God, I go back. Then he went back in the form of light. You catch how that works? Now, this is important to us because this means that it means he has all authority. Go back. All authority, go back. He says, all authority, it means I have legal right. All legal rights. He has a legal right. All legal right is given. The question is, who gives it? This is God given legal rights to his firstborn. This is also the rights of the firstborn, and this is the right of inheritance. This is the right of sonship. He's been adopted, he has been trained, he's been placed. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. Sorry, Ephesians 1. Give me half an hour, I'm guaranteed by God's grace. Even if you don't believe it, you at least will have enough material to go back and make it work in another way for you. Ephesians 1, let's leave from the 17th verse. This is a break. This is talking about Son of Man here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Bible declares it that Jesus Christ has, you know, a God. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the only one who can give revelation, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. You see, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that comes through Son of Man. So Ephesians 1:17 is Luke 21:27. It is the ministry of the Son of Man. Because the Son of Man, I don't need to do this. If you go back and pick up the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you'll pick it up in Isaiah 11. That it was upon Jesus. You'll pick it up in Isaiah 61. And then you'll pick it up in Luke 4 and 16. That this is the spirit of wisdom that came upon Christ and make him of a quick understanding. Is that right? So that's the ministry of Son of Man there. And when that Son of Man come, you will have a knowledge of him, God. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Well, to bring you to adoption. To bring back the three things. Eternal life, communion with God, fellowship with God, and title deed. And what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints? Go on up. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ones who believe, working according to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. So the power is not the Christ. It's not the Son's power. It's God's power. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Well, so he's in his right hand. So here God placed his Son on his right hand. And even though he's there, he gives him legal rights. He gives him legal authority. For many different reasons, like we're going to see. Right? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, and had put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head of all things, but to the church. But remember, the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:3, right? Will be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. So he's supposed to be. Now, so I am going to declare right here. I don't want to do the Jesus, remove Jesus from Jesus here. I guess I'm going to do it. Let us see what happens. I am going to place Ephesians 1. Let's read the 20th verse again. The 21 verse. To be equal to Matthew 28:18. And I'm going to say that happens at Psalms 110:1. Let's read it. Just give me a minute. We'll bring it back to the 19th verse. But let's do the placing of it. Scriptural placing. If you don't place things right, then you'll have the cow eating on top of the roof. Jehovah said unto my Lord. So you have the Lord, which is God. Said unto my Lord. Sit on my right hand. Well, we know the only one that sits on his right hand is the Son. Right? Let's look at that. Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Let's look at that. Acts 2:34. For David is not ascended unto the heavens. Now David wrote this. David is the one who said, the Lord said unto my Lord. The question is, why did David call the Son, Jesus, Lord? He called God Jehovah, and then he called the Son of God my Lord. Why did David call him Lord? Now Jesus asked the very same question in Matthew 22, I don't know, is it 40 something? If you could find it for me. Jesus asked them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, he's the Son of David. And then he asked him, if he's the Son of David, how come David called him Lord? You don't call your son Lord. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? So they said unto him, the Son of David. He said, how then David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till I make my enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Now, that is why these unconverted men are just like these people. David didn't believe in two gods. Jesus didn't believe in two gods, and he quoted it. He's calling one who is the Son Lord, and there's a reason why David is calling him Lord. David is calling him Lord because David sees a son, a man, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. David conquered everything, but he never conquered death, hell, and the grave. But when David saw, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand, it's because David in the spirit saw the crucifixion. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David saw the bulls, they come past me. My bones, they stare at me. David saw the death, the burial, and the resurrection of that man. David said, I will not see my Holy One to see corruption. That's Psalms 22. David saw when he was in hell. David saw when he was on the cross dying. David saw when he was naked. David wrote all of that. And finally David saw him, not in the grave. He said, I'll not leave his soul in hell. Well, where did his soul go? He saw him resurrected at the right hand. And he saw that David, Peter is going to show you. Peter said, David is still in the sepulchre. He wasn't speaking of himself. He was speaking of someone greater than him. That's why David called him Lord. But David didn't make two gods. Let's go back to Acts 2:34. Let's read it. And I'll close it up with the baptism. For David is not ascending into the heavens. He said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit in my right hand. So this is not talking about David. Until I make thy foes thy footstool, let all of the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So here, David is showing you that God had made his son Lord. How do you know that? Because the Bible, Paul declares he has placed him above all things. Put up 1 Peter 3:22. So he's made this Jesus, we know it as this Jesus, he has made Lord and Christ. So there is a Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to know about this one. Who has gone into the heaven? Is on the right hand of God. Well, who sits on the right hand? My Lord sits on the right hand. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That was Paul spoke in Ephesians 1. Peter speaks here. David spoke. And yet all of them believe in one God and still can say Jesus Christ their Lord. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. He has been made Lord, Jesus Christ. But he's not the God that of the Old Testament. He is the God that was above them in the pillar of fire. He was the God that was in his Son in the Jordan River. He is gone into the heavens, the Bible said, and he's still there. And he who was in him has come back as a pillar of fire. As Christ. Jehovah, who took his human name, Jesus. Jehovah of the old is the God that came in the name of Jesus that comes back on the day of Pentecost. Lord Jesus Christ. Fatherhood, and the God in the Old Testament and the prophets. Sonship, God in his Son. And then that same one comes back as the anointing that anointed this body comes to anoint his mystical body, which is the church. The Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Watch again. Let me close it up. I'm closing it up. Watch carefully. Why is he made Lord Jesus Christ? Why is he made Lord Jesus Christ? He's made Lord Jesus Christ for five reasons. The first one is Ephesians. He's the head of the church. If he's the head of the church, Sarah called her husband Lord. Did not Sarah call her husband Lord? He is made Lord because he is the head of the church. That's the first reason he's made Lord. That is 1 Peter 3 and 7, I believe. Yeah. And he's the savior of the body. Right? See, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. Every time you submit, because why? The husband represents Christ in the house. Right? Okay, so you have, he's made Lord because he's the head of the church. And the husband is the Lord of the house, wife. Two, he's made Lord because he's the firstborn. Let us go to Deuteronomy 21:15. If a man have two wives, one beloved, other hated, and they have bore him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be that when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he had, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which indeed is the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the firstborn for the hated, of the hated, for the firstborn by giving him a double portion. We do not have, we only have half of the portion. We are joint heirs with him. But he is double portion. He, by giving him a double portion of all that he had, for he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his. Now, Deuteronomy, Genesis 27, 37. Let's read from the 34th verse. 34. Go up a little bit higher. I'm sorry, 33. Okay, now. And he said unto him, savory meat, and brought it unto his father. And he said, let my father rise and eat of his son venison, that his soul may be blessed. Now remember what's going on here. Rebekah included Jacob to imitate his brother Esau. Okay. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and he said, "Who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before that cometh, and I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with great exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is it not right he rightly named Jacob? For he had supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered unto him, said unto Esau, now watch very carefully, "Behold, I have made him thy Lord. I have made him your Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And the corn and the wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" The firstborn is Lord over all the brothers. And the only way to serve the father is to serve the firstborn. Even though Paul is saying to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, "I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ," because you cannot serve the Father without serving the firstborn. The firstborn is who we serve. Until we come to a place where we are just like that firstborn, then we are positionally placed again. Then we have rights. Until that time, we are bondservant of Jesus Christ. The only way to serve the Father. Now, this is also the rights of the firstborn, or the rights of the father's right hand, or the strength of the father. This is also seen in Genesis 40, I believe it is, with Joseph. Here's Pharaoh, a type of the father. Here is Joseph, and he is made Lord. He is not made Pharaoh, but yet he is equal with Pharaoh everywhere except on the throne. And all of Egypt must bow and serve the right hand of Pharaoh. Why? He's made a son unto Pharaoh. So that's the rights of the firstborn. The third reason he's made Lord, he's king of the Jews. Psalms 89:27. And also the book of Revelation. 1 and 7, 6, somewhere around there. Psalms 89:27 says, "I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth." He has been made their Lord. There you go. I mean, higher than the kings of the earth. They will have to bow to him. The fourth reason that he is made Lord. He is made Lord because he's an overcomer. All overcomer received a title. He received the title of Lord or Master over all things, not just the sons of God, but over all principalities and powers and everything else. That's Philippians 2:9. God had highly exalted him. That's like Pharaoh highly exalted him. Therefore, God had highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, on things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every knee, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not God. He is Lord. He's been made Lord. He's an overcomer. He humbled himself. You know, he became a servant. He didn't count it robbery to be equal with God. That's what the scripture is. If you read Philippians in the beginning, it tells you that. to the glory of God the Father. I think he's talking about two gods there? But they want to tell you that no, he's been made Lord and he's also God. So God made himself Lord. Now you talk about idiotic, that's idiotic. Right? So you find here, he's an overcomer. And he received the title Lord because in John 9 and 40, when you read your Bible, it is an Eastern book. We are Western people. Every time you read the word Lord in your Bible, you think it's talking about, you know, God. But it's not. Watch carefully. And some of the Pharisees which were him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now we see, therefore your sin is in him. Maybe go back up a little bit. I passed it. A little bit more. Right there. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And he found him. And he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus asking him. He already healed him. They kicked him out. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord? Now this word Lord, he's not telling you he knows Jesus is Lord. It was a title of respect. You can call the high priest Lord. You can call your judges Lord. You can you use Lord, or if he was a teacher, you call him Rabbi. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And he said, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. He made him Lord. When did he make him Lord? He made him Lord at the resurrection. When he raised him from the dead. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, from the minute he saw his disciple, he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Where did he get that? He got that from the minute he rose from the dead. That was the commission given. Seen by David. That's why David called him Lord. Because David saw that Jehovah had made this son Lord, even Lord of the Old Testament saints. You say, how do you know that? It is he that went down and rose David from the grave. He is the one that went down there and they had to follow. He connected the body. When he rose, then the Old Testament saints rose after him. David rose in a glorified body after him. The fifth reason he is made Lord. He is the high priest over the house of God. And the house of God is not brick and stone. The house of God is his people. That's why he had made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And therefore, I ask you, friends, when it say go baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which Lord Jesus Christ? Is it the one who has been made Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it the one who was in the Old Testament fatherhood? The one who spoke in his son in sonship. And the same, this son went up in a glorified body and is still there. The one who comes back as Christ, the Holy Spirit on the church. Which Lord Jesus Christ were you baptized in? And if they never told you that and asked you that, if you have never come to such a place with the revelation of Godhead, you were baptized wrong in Durban. And you were baptized under wondrous baptism, under a Baal priesthood. And you'll get nowhere. Questions? You. If you were to serve Pharaoh, I'm going to try to put it doctrinally, but if you were to serve Pharaoh in the days of Joseph, could you serve Pharaoh directly? If you wanted to obey Pharaoh, would you have been able to obey Pharaoh directly? Or would you have to obey Joseph? Would you have to serve Joseph? If you want to obey and live a right life, would you have to live under the instructions of your pastor? You can't serve. You can't jump higher than him. If you can jump higher than him, you have no right being there, and you're a fool. You don't tolerate sitting under a man that you have outgrown. Don't ever go there to help a man. You say, well, I'm going to help my pastor. You know, he doesn't know too much. You need the help mentally. How? How do you serve? Do you think we can serve God outside of William Branham today? We must serve under his instructions. What it is to be Christ-like, to follow Christ, wasn't William Branham the Christ for today? Well then, anything that doesn't follow Christ, which is William Branham today, they're following a Christ of history, but to be a Christian today, you ought to be a follower of Christ, which is William Branham. You hear his voice. That's about, you don't believe that? John 13:20, put it up. This is the concept, how we serve Christ, and then how Christ serves God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whom I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Is that right? Same concept. If you reject William Branham, you reject Christ. If you obey William Branham, you obey Christ. If you follow William Branham, you follow Christ. If you have the same spirit, same teaching, same life, then you're Christ. Again, Luke 10:16. He that heareth you, heareth me. My sheep hear my voice. The only way you'll hear God, Christ's voice, is through the seven stars that descend in his right hand. If you're not hearing that, I don't care how good the teacher is outside there. Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, you won't hear in Christ. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. John 12:44. Jesus cried, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but him that sent me. Well, how do you believe on him? He that believeth on William Branham, believeth on Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Jesus Christ, believeth on him that sent him. That's the only way to do it. If you want to follow, if you want to serve Pharaoh, you better serve Joseph. If you want to serve Joseph, you better follow who Joseph set in your province to instruct you. That's the only way you do it. Let me show you a quick thing. You see, I did all this. He made Christ Lord and Christ. Every time he sent a messenger, which was a star, that star became Lord and Christ of the age. To believe them is to believe him. To obey them is to obey him. To hate them is to hate him, which is to hate the one that sent him. Every messenger for the age becomes Lord and Christ for the age. The pastors that are born under that star becomes a local star to their local congregation. He becomes Lord and Christ of his church because he's the head of the church. He's anointed in a smaller measure. The husbands in that church becomes Lord and Christ over their wife. That is how, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. That was that mind that was before the throne comes to the star. The mind that's in the star is in the pastor. The mind that's in the pastor is in the husband. The mind that's in the husband is in the wife. They don't drop down there individually. I'm going to read my message today, and the Lord's going to give me his mind. He won't bypass his fivefold ministry. Okay, the worship of the Son, the worship of God, and the honor of his Father. Hebrews 2, I think it's 11, somewhere around there. For he, God, sanctified, and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed, the Son is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I, the Son, will declare thy name unto my brethren. Stop right there. Let's go to John 17 and 6. Hit the word manifest. The word phanerou. Phanerou means to reveal in its true nature and character. Let's go up here. To make manifest, visible, known what has been hidden or unknown, either by words or deeds. Either by words or deeds. By teaching. To expose to view that which is hidden. So God is hidden. Right? So he could only be revealed by characteristics. Let's go back. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given to me. Thine they were, and thou didst give them, and they have kept thy word. Let's go to Isaiah 9 and 6. I have manifested thy name. It's not my name. I have manifested thy name. But when he manifests the name, they say, oh, you're the healer. You're the miracle worker. You're this, you're that. See, the Satan perverted it and want the creation to take credit, because that's what Satan did. When God used him, he took the credit and robbed God of the glory. But Philippians 2 says, this Son counted not robbery to be equal with God, even though all of God's qualities was being revealed from him. He kept saying, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. And because he humbled himself and said it was not me, God exalted him and gave him a name above every name. And Lucifer will find himself down in the dumps. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name, not his name is not wonderful. His name shall be called. It shall be called wonderful, because he's going to manifest the most wonderful miracles and wonders and abilities that ever was. And the devil is going to misrepresent that and make the Son, the one who that belongs to. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Why? Because he will manifest that wonderful Counselor. Yet, the Bible said the spirit of wisdom and knowledge rest upon him and will make him of quick understanding in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. But yet, they believe he's the all-wise one. Right? John 12:48. We'll go back to Isaiah 9 and 6. He'll be called a mighty God. Why mighty God? Why Prince of Peace? Why Everlasting Father? I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me the commandment. What I should say and what I should say. Who's the spirit of wisdom? Who's the wise one? I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 7:16. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine. But I thought he was the word. I thought in the message world that he is the word. He is the manifest word. He is the prophet, the perfect teacher, the perfect interpreter. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. God is going to prove it. God is going to back up his word. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Whose law is it? Moses' law? Or is it God's law? What did Paul say? They'll be judged by my gospel. Whose gospel was it? Paul's gospel or God's gospel? So he is to manifest thy name. Let's go to the book of, back to Hebrews 2. 11. We worship God, we honor his Son. That's what we do. We worship God and we honor his Son. There's only one God. He's the one that we adore. He's the one that we worship. He's the Jesus that we want to see. Let me just show something to frighten your heart, how deep in sin the oneness is in. You know there's a Jesus in Jesus. We know there's a Jehovah Jesus. We know this Son of God, Jesus, the heavens must retain. He cannot come back. We'll meet him in the air, but he'll never come to earth until his foot touch the Mount of Olives. Watch very carefully how ignorant they are. We know the Lord said unto my Lord. We know that when it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, it can't be the one who has been made Lord coming down. Because he cannot come down, the heaven must retain him. Who's the one coming down? This one. The mighty angel of Revelation 10:1, where Abraham said that was Christ. Which Christ? The one who has been made Christ, the anointed one? He's still on the throne. Was the one who anointed him, the anointer, coming to anoint another man here on the earth, William Branham. Which Christ is coming down? They don't have a clue. So when they see Christ revealing his own word, which one? He said his doctrine is not his own. So who's Christ being revealed in his own word? It's God. Now I ask you, which Jesus keeps his appointment? The one who doesn't know when he's coming back? Or this one? You see, calling Jesus on the scene, which one you want? The one who falls asleep? Or the one who is all ever eyes opened? Which one do you want? So we would see Jesus. Which one? You still want to see the temple? As the Greek, even the Greek was smart. They wanted to see the miracle worker. Which Jesus do you want? Which Jesus do you want calling on the scene? You know the title of the message, Calling on the Scene? Jesus keeps his appointment. Christ revealing his own word. Which one? You see, from the minute a oneness preacher picks up a book and he reads the title, he's in sin. From the minute he starts studying it, he gets deeper in sin. And when he preaches it to you, it's even more sin. That's how bad in sin they are. And do not even know it. Know it if not. They have no material. They have no doctrine. They will not come as men and say, let us reason together. They'll hide. They'll kill you from the corridors, in the dark alleys, in the secret places like they tried Christ in the nights. But they wouldn't come out in the light. They'll say, oh, they twist the script. Show me which ones. They can't. No, sirree. No. They can't do it. For say, I declare thy name unto my brethren. Well, who's our brethren? This is the firstborn. In the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. The Son of God is going to worship his Father. Well, you say, I don't know, but he went and prayed to him in Gethsemane. As his custom was, he went in the synagogue to worship. As his custom was, he break bread and give thanks unto God. He's a worshiper. He's going to lead worship. He's going to lead the congregation in worship. He is the head in a type of the husband and the wife. Why wouldn't he be the priest of the family? Why wouldn't he be the head of worship? Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. They know nothing. They have no clue. They don't even know their God. They have no right behind a pulpit. They are novices. I say harsh things, but listen. They can whip you. They can whip you. They can whip the woman. They love that. They can give you a good trashing, but you can't give them one. They can't take it. They can dish it, but they can't take it. Oh yeah, they can take advantage of it, all right. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside sealed with seven seals. Brabham said, that's the one that sits in there is the original owner. That's the original owner. That's God, the original owner. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Continue to read. Go on up. No man was worthy. Going up, 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 up. And I beheld and so forth, going up. Okay, right there. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had opened the book, the four beasts and the 24 fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of the odors of the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seal, for thou hast slain and redeemed us unto our God by thy blood of every tongue and kindred and nation, and thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign." What are they doing? They are honoring the Son for what he did. We worship God for who he is. Whether he does nothing, it matters not. He is worthy because he is God. We worship God for being God. We honor the Son for what he did. Watch again. That's what they are doing. They're honoring him for what he has done. "And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and elders, and a number of them that 10,000 times 10,000 and 10,000, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive." From who? From who? To receive power and riches and wisdom. He doesn't have it. "And strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven or under the earth, such as are in the sea and all the things therein, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto." Now, watch carefully now. "Be unto him and unto the Lamb forever." We worship God for who he is. We honor the Lamb for what he did. "And the four beasts said, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." That's God. That's Revelation 19 now. And Paul did the same thing. Always, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. Always thanking God and always honoring his Son. Always thanking God, always honoring his Son. In all of his prayer, in all of his epistles. All right, this is the last one. We'll close it off. We realize. Tomorrow is, what today is? Today's Thursday. Okay, all right. Good. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor unto the Lord our God." That's, watch carefully. "Unto the Lord our God." That's not the Lamb. "For true and righteous are his judgment. For he had judged the great whore." That's the one who turned the picture as a judgment wink. Wig, that one that showed your picture here, the one who came down, the one that was in Genesis 18, Abraham, "will not the judge of all the earth do right? And avenge," well, vengeance is mine. No one has a right to take the vengeance except God. "For the blood of the saints and at her hands." And again they said, "Hallelujah," and a smoke rose up. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worship God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. We worship God. He is the original owner. And there, watch carefully now. Watch the psalm. Watch the Lamb now. Watch the Lamb. Watch the voice. "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Now I want to ask you, what followed this voice? "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great one voice." What is he doing? He's leading the worship. That's what he said he will do. Hebrews 11, 2 and 11. "I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, a voice of many waters, a voice of mighty thunder, and said, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And you can continue to read all the way through the book of Revelation. You worship God, you honor the Son. You honor him. He is worthy to receive power and might and wisdom. But we give glory and honor to our God. We worship one true God. We honor his Son. I can do a lot more with the worship. Worship and prayer is the same thing. You can take all the prayers of Paul. You can take the prayers of Jesus praying the way the Bible said it has his custom was. Brother, sister, there is a delusion. It's a spirit of lies and delusion that's on Christianity and in the Oneness Church. And when truth is exposed to it, because that spirit has been there so long, you even question your own Bible instead of questioning the men who taught it. That's how it has gotten so bad that you even question William Branham and the Bible before you question. You question them before you question the men who taught you that rubbish. My job is not a pastor's job. Apostles are doctrinal setters of order. My voice has already been heard, and no doubt it will be a witness. So I say this, wherever this tape goes, I hope it falls in Durban, I hope it falls in good ground, I hope it falls with men who fear God. Find out where your pastor got life from. If he got it from Dan, and I do, because most people came from there, then I tell you, run for your life. If they tell you, I was praying and somebody touched me in my back, run for your life. It comes through the body. Let them tell you the man it came from, the ministry it came from. And then take the doctrines and take it back to that man. If he can't see it, he had no life. Don't question so much the doctrine. You just start questioning the birth. Go back to Spoken Word Original Seed Part 2. Give them the test. And you will see that you're under unconverted men. And that's why you cannot grow. That's why they fabricate. That's why so much. How many branches of churches you have now in Durban? And continue to grow? A new generation is coming up of unconverted men too. Because if the first generation couldn't pass on life, where did they get life from? It's just going to get worse. Brother Louis, God bless you. God give you good men. Make your watering hole big, that there will be enough room for all the thirsty in Durban. God bless you.